we're continuing with our story here with Paul, Silas, Timothy, and of course Luke. Luke is the author here of this gospel, and Luke is with them. And when they depart from this area of Philippi, as we looked at last week, Luke stays behind because the personal pronoun "we" is no longer there. When Paul comes back later on the third missionary journey, we'll pick up with the "we's" again, and that's with Luke, Timothy, and Paul and Silas. So, looking at this here, I entitled this message "Turning Persecution into Production." You turn it into production. And I have to admit, because, you know, as we have here today, this is Independence Day, but I just wanted to share with you a few things that our forefathers had to suffer through because of what happened. Of course, we know what happened with Paul. He was beaten two times, going on three times for something he didn't do, and Silas there in the courtyard. But it, we had with 56 out of 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, you had 12 that had their homes ransacked and burned. These are people that gave us the independence. We're thankful for that, who had the guts to do it. Two lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Two sons were captured. 9 out of 56 fought and died from wounds and hardship from war. And also, out of the signers' Declaration of Independence, we should be thankful, because freedom, there is a cost for freedom, as it is for Christians, as it was for Paul and Silas. It says, one of the signers, Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship sunk by the British Navy. Imagine having your whole business just go down the drain for what you believe in. Well, it costs to pay. You have to pay a price. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts, and he died in poverty. So sometimes life doesn't always turn out like we expect it to be. But, you know, if you're doing right, do right. And God can always bless that. It's not what the world thinks. We're not conformed, but we are transformed into the renewing of our mind through Jesus Christ. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Then we see here, too, that at the Battle of Yorktown, the British General Cornel Wells had taken over Nelson's home for his headquarters. Nelson ordered George Washington to open up fire on his own home. And I remember General Cornwallis, he was in charge of the Southern troops there through North South Carolina into Virginia. And his home was destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. So, but people will remember you once you pass away. People will remember about the good things. And then we see John Hart was driven from his wife's side as she was dying during the Revolutionary War. The 13 children fled for their lives, and his fields were destroyed, all because he put his name to the Declaration of Independence. For over a year, he lived in forest caves, returning home only to find his wife had died, and then his children had vanished. You never saw them again. What a price to pay for what you think is right. And it may come down to our lifetimes, you know, coming in the near future. We don't know which way this government's going. But it says a few weeks later, he himself died from exhaustion. He was just worn out. He died. But, you know, you say that's horrible. But you know what? Every Christian has to pay a price in his own way. We all suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's all kinds of persecutions that come up, and so it comes in one form or the matter. It's not all the same. Everybody bears their own cross. Everybody suffers. We rejoice in our independence, but you know, we have to keep on fighting for it. And so as we see here in verses 25 through 29, we're going to look at the praise here. But before I do that, remember last week we were looking at the portraits of two women, and one was the unsaved and one was the saved. The unsaved lady, she was demon possessed. She was a fortune teller. And we looked at last week how it was very important in Roman legions and armies, and also in the political realm, they looked to fortune telling. It was very important because they looked to, remember, they were a pagan society. They didn't have churches in Rome at this time like we do today. is totally different. The culture is different. The way people think is different. So you had this demon-possessed lady was crying out to Paul and Silas, look, they are servants of the high God. And we looked at this last week, how Satan likes to throw 99.9% truth at the picture and paint it that way, that portrait that way. And people say, oh, well, she's part of the, she believes in God too. No, if Satan could interlock the truth with error, then it destroys the whole testimony. That's what I'm saying here this morning. We got to be careful. We don't be lock in step and march with the world, because the world will march us right into a bad looking picture in our lives. And so we need to be walking in the spirit and in truth and God's might. So Paul rebuked the lady. The spirit came out. They lost their money. These guys were in it for the money. They're using this poor lady who was possessed. She came to know the Lord. And remember, we looked at the week before, Lydia and her household came to know the Lord. Well, these people were very upset. They lost their money. And they were angry. Remember, in Gersanzes, remember when Jesus was there, there was 2,000 swine. Remember, there was this one demoniac. He was in the graveyard, and he was acting, doing all these bizarre things, hurting, cutting himself, and so on and so forth. And Christ rebuked this demon, and it went in 2,000 swine, and these people became angry, and they said, you know what? We want you out of here, Jesus, because we lost money on you, the God of this world. And Jesus even said later on in the Gospels, listen to me, it'd be more tolerant for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than will be for that town. Because why? Because they saw the truth. They knew the truth. They apostatized. They walked away from it. And so it just totally was, now it was in their hands, you know, and it shudders. I have the fear of God in me when I hear people reject the Lord. It scares me. It sends goosebumps up me. And no horror movie out there could scare me, but I tell you what, the fear God put into people's lives, that makes people's backs stand straight up. People pay attention. They're like, I got to get this right, because there is a day of accountability. It's nothing more fearful, as one preacher said, it's nothing worse than falling in the hands of an angry God. And it took that preacher 3 days. And revival broke out. And you know what? He had a monotone talk about it. He preached like this, and untold thousands came to know the Lord because of the Holy Spirit. So make the Holy Spirit real in the world today. We have to. And Paul did this with Silas and Timothy. And then you had, of course, Luke. So the men were angry. They went there to the judges, to the political leaders. And of course, being political leaders like they are, if they want to keep their jobs, they want to feel good with the society. We're all about feeling good, rubbing each other's back, and, you know, getting along with one another. But I tell you what, once you break that chain, that circle, you get people angry because they like the way things are going. You know, especially in politics, they all want to be buddy-buddy, and they want to, you know, stay in office. They want to keep their jobs. See that happening today in our government. Everywhere we see it, even, you know, in our own hometowns. And I'm not saying it's bad. In one sense, it's good. In a sense, another way, it's bad. So they were angry. And if we look at the Word of God, Paul had already mentioned it here, but we see here in verse 25, and it says here, verse 19, excuse me, 19, starting off, it says, when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace for the rulers. The marketplace is the main area there where that was the center of town. And if you did something wrong, they would make a spectacle of you. And it's nothing more embarrassing than having your clothes ripped off of you, or your backs shown, then you'd be whipped with these sticks. They would tie these sticks up and just whip you and whip you. And to make an example, to send the fear of man through that courtyard. And also, too, they would get together and they'd talk about things. And these courtyards there in Philippi. Remember, that was a Roman colony. And what they did was illegal, because you had to go before a judge first and talk to him, like we have in the judicial system today, but they didn't. They were hurrying up trying to please the crowd. We need to look at ourselves today spiritually and say, am I just pleasing the crowd? I know many of you here today don't do that. You stand firm what you believe in, and by God's grace, I'm going to, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So there were two city judges that were sitting here, and they brought them to the magistrates, saying to these men, being Jews, and exceedingly trouble our city. Now listen, they were a pagan society, number one. And number two, at that same time, Emperor Claudius from Rome expelled all the Jews there from Rome. Why did he do that? Because through antiquity, through history, we find out that Jews, there's been this anti-Semitism. We have that even today. Because the devil knows that he knows God's word inside and out. What he tries to do is, remember when he tempted Christ in the wilderness, he used it, he's trying to distort it. He knows his doom is coming. He knows his days are short. So, and of course, God is still going to work with the Jewish people after the rapture happens, after the church has been taken up. God is going to turn his grace back to the Jewish people. So, there was in verse 20, there was trouble 21, and teach the custom which is not lawful for us to receive, neither observe being Roman. So the law was you could not have any new religion come in. They put up false charges. All they were doing is doing what they were going down there and ministering to the people in Philippi. They weren't trying to change anything. But it was in Roman law, remember, it was a pagan society, they were like, you cannot have any new religion here unless the state approves it. And thank God we have our liberties. And thank God we should do this on this Independence weekend. Think about it and say, Lord, what can I do to continue to keep our freedom today? It comes with a price. It always does. If not here or in overseas, we're fighting for freedom, and our sons and our daughters and our relatives die overseas. It makes a big difference. It brings it home. So, being here, verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe. So if we were the jailer, they would come to us and say, these reprobates, these terrible people trying to spread a false religion, they need to go to jail. They got all these people upset. And he's probably heard about this demon-possessed woman who made people a lot of money, is very popular. Well, thank God for her. Not much is said, but now think about it. Your mind having something else there, a demonic spirit controlling you and saying they're like a ventriloquist. Something speaking out of your mouth is not you. It's a horrible, horrible thing. But through the power of Christ, it was gone. And so she now had a sane mind. They weren't concerned about that. They were concerned about their God, their money. So he heard about all this. He was like, I better keep her and wraps, right? Better keep an eye on them. And remember Peter, when he went to jail earlier in Acts, we looked at that. Remember the people there went to sleep, the people that were guarding Peter. Remember an angel came by and woke up Peter, because Peter fell asleep eventually and the jailers fell asleep. You know what? They were put to death. This man who was guarding Paul and Silas, he knew he would be put to death. So being a jailer was not a very inviting job, I don't think. But they did it because they could pay the bills and, you know, had a place to live. So there was that. Now look at verse 24. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. So Peter and Silas were like this. They had their legs spread out and they were out like this. Very painfully, they put the stocks around them tightly. So it would be very uncomfortable. And think about the swelling in the hurt, in the pain, and the restriction on your blood flow, and just being in that one position all the time. You couldn't scratch your face. You couldn't beat off a fly off your face. You were just there submitted to the whims of life and what's going on. And God wants us today to submit to Him. And so they were in a very bad place at this time. But, you know, I love what they did. They took a bad situation, they turned it around for good. You know, this week, we've probably had many times for us all, and God bless you all, you've had some rough times. God can take those rough times and turn them around for good. And so how do you do that? Well, obviously, you just leave yourself open to what the Lord tells you to do. And walk in step with Him, with His Word, in prayer, and His blessings. And, you know, remember, try to meditate on God's. Try to challenge yourself today. I'm challenging myself too today. Memorize God's Word. Grab a scripture verse and try to remember that. Write it down in your Bible. Write it down on your hand if you don't have a piece of paper. You know, I need to memorize one verse. Doesn't matter how big it is, but something that would help you. Because we all need that. And, you know, God's Word is like, you know, we have the armor of God. We have the sword of the Spirit. It's an offensive, defensive weapon. And it constantly, we have a warfare that's spiritual, we don't see. But we see that God is in control of that. So there they were, hanging there in a cross, grotesque type of position. And I love this, verse 25. And in the midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So they heard what was going on. They were like, these guys are in trouble. They did a wonderful thing to that poor woman. We knew who she was, but she didn't seem like she was right in the head. But you know what? It made these guys a lot of money. I'm sure they're pretty upset. So they heard what was going on. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors opened and everyone's bands were loosened. So here they were praying and giving thanks like Paul had done. Remember, he was beaten by the Sanhedrin. Remember, Herod had thrown him into jail too. And, you know, that didn't stop anything because they don't learn. You know, we learn from life's lessons, don't we? We learn from the suffering that we go through. Well, we should give thanks because it helps us to grow. It helps us to mature. Help us to be better. And sometimes we're too tired to think. It's best to get some rest. And then when you wake up, you're like, Lord, pray, pray, pray. Lord, show me. Why was I struggling with an issue last night before I went to bed? And then God will reveal it to you. And you'll be set free. The truth will set you free. You know, you'll be like it says in Isaiah 40:31. Like an eagle, mounting up his eagles, flying over life's circumstances, enjoying God's grace, God's beauty, God's wonderment, and all that he does in our lives. So, why did this happen? It's amazing. Listen to this closely. It's verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, and drew out his sword, he would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. Now, he knew it was an automatic death sentence. He was like, I'm ready to die. And what most historians believe in is that his household was right next to the prison because he was there almost 24/7 all the time. So he had an awesome responsibility. Verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. So Paul is speaking for everybody. Isn't it amazing when God puts power in your life that you see that God has control over everything and that everything is working out for your plans? You know, some of you have been praying, God's been answering prayer and at the right time. And then seeing how God has been using those people in your life, isn't it fascinating? Isn't it wonderful? And it's exciting that when you see God using other people for your benefit, isn't that wonderful? And yet, you know, he's so good for us. And then when we can be servants to other people, we can help other people out because people are praying for us. And so that should make us excited too. And so we see here, verse 29 says, and he called for the light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Isn't it interesting? This earthquake was not for Paul and Silas. It was for the jailer. You know, God can make all kinds of circumstances happen for us. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't we privileged? Aren't we just thankful? You know, He can use our voices. He can use our, I wouldn't say our looks, right? Forget that, right? Because, you know, no, but we have so many gifts, so many talents. A gift is through the Holy Spirit. Our talents is what naturally God gives to us. You know? So what if they, if you're good looking, right? You have to give thanks for that too, right? No, but you know what? It was for these people that God did it for the jailer and his household. They all got saved. And even the prisoners, because as you'll find out later on, the prisoners didn't leave. They stayed. And even Paul and Silas stayed in jail. Because then the very next day, God knows what's going on. God's in control, amen. And God's saying, hey, you know what's going to happen? They're going to come back. The sergeants are going to come back and say, okay, we're going to release you. And I love Paul's response. But moving back down here, I love what the jailer says. He says, "Sirs, what I must do to be saved?" And it's neat because he doesn't say you have to be baptized. He didn't say you have to work your way to heaven. He says, "What must I do to be saved?" And the beautiful part was, is that he realized who Jesus Christ was. He was his deity. He was the anointed one. And second of all, he realized what Jesus did when he died on the cross and he was forgiven. You know, he understood when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we responded back. It was right away we understood in our minds that reflection of God's love was now in us and that light was in us. The Holy Spirit was in us and we understood God's word for the very first time. And we are very thankful, each one of us today, for our salvation. What must I do to be saved? And it says here, moving down, and he says here, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house by faith." And they spake unto him in the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of that night. And I love what the jailer did. The jailer, you know, when you first get saved, right away you start doing good things for other people. You start telling them about what's going on. I remember when I first got saved, they either thought, oh, he's changed or he's a nutcase. But half of my household, I was thankful for what the Lord did. I'm sure it's happened in your life. They came to know Christ. There's something different. What is this? And so they started going back to church in my family. And half of my brothers and my sisters got saved. And then their kids got saved. You know, that's the power of Christ. And we're thankful for that. That can happen at our work or wherever we're at and say, well, things have gotten kind of dark lately. They just don't really listen. Well, you know, never give up on them. By the grace of God, so are we, right? And so when they took the same hour that night, they washed their stripes. And he and all his straight away. So they cleaned the wounds. And I love this, verse 34. And then he had brought them into his house. He said, come on over to the house. Let me take care of you guys. A total transformation. And he set meat before them. So number two, brought them home. He gave them something to eat. And he rejoiced with them in the love of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? You can rejoice with people you don't even know. You don't know them from Adam. But they're there and believing in God and all his house. Just like Lydia's household, verses 14 and 15 in that chapter. Lydia was like, she constrained them. In other words, she didn't want them to leave. You know, we're having some ladies coming here next week. I want you all to get to know them. And, encourage them. And you know, take them out. Get to know them. You know, because they need that. They need older Christians. They need to be encouraged. They need older ladies. They need older men to encourage. And so we all need to encourage one another. Verse 35, and it says, and it was in that day the magistrates sent the sergeant saying, let those men go. You know why they did that? Because they did a political wrong thing. In politics, you want to save face all the time. nowadays they just lie about it. You know, they're just like, you know, and see if there's a sucker born every minute. I think they must be thinking there's a lot of suckers out there, but there isn't. People are not stupid. They're not dumb, and they can smell a liar when they smell one. Anyway, so they tried the easy way out. You know, just get out of here, Paul and Silas. Hurry up, get out of here. As soon as you get out of here, you know, things will settle down. Everything will be okay. That's how the devil works. He wants us to cower. He wants us just to, you know, oh, no big deal about it. But we need to be bold in the spirit. We need to be shining as lights in this dark world. Verse 36, and the keeper of the prison told this same Paul, the magistrate has sent to you, go. Now therefore depart, go in peace. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, barely, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. He says, you know what, since you guys thought you were all rock hard gut guys, thought you could just, you know, throw us in jail and, you know, beat us publicly and humiliate us and make lies. They spread all kinds of lies. And, you know, they were just like, you know what? You got to come here. You get us out. And you make a public apology, too. And you know why? One of the reasons, because they thought about Lydia. They thought about the demon-possessed girl. Then they thought about the jailer and his wife. You know, it's very important. You think about other people besides ourselves, myself. You know, I have to think about what other people think. And they could have, well, listen to me, they could have treated these other people, the Christians, the same way. That's why God's given us backbones. He's given us a strong heart, strong mind. And, you know, we're going to stick up for one another. And so that is what Paul and Silas did. So I love Paul's response. In verse 38, and the sergeants told the words unto the magistrates, and they feared, of course. And when they heard that they were Romans, and guess what? They broke the law. And you know what? They could have very easily lost their jobs and could have lost all their prestige. And, you know, when you go with the world, you have to run with the world. You have to keep running in pace with them. And, you know, when you run with the world, you run out of breath and you can never please the world. The world always takes something out of you. It just knocks you out. And as Christians, we can back up and say, I don't need to be in that race. I need to be in God's race and looking to Jesus Christ. So they were in trouble. Verse 39, and they came and besought them and brought them out, desired them to depart out of the city. And now they are like, oh, you know, we're sorry. Verse 40, and when they went out of prison, they entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they confronted them and departed. Now, this is right before they go to Thessalonica. You know, today we have, we're all taking different journeys in different places. We all live in different worlds. You heard that expression, that person's living in his own world. But you know, God knows this world better than we do. And God has a plan for us. And God had a plan for them too. Our journey has just begun. Our journey started when we got saved. Remember, we were born physically as a baby, but then remember what Nicodemus said to Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again spiritually. Well, you know what? People were born again spiritually. To this world, it's foolishness unto them. They don't understand that. But living for Christ, suffering for Christ, as many as all of you are have done, or some of you are going through right now, suffering. God is with you. The same Holy Spirit, let me encourage you with this morning, the same Holy Spirit that we have our independence through the liberty in Christ, Jesus Christ, we should be dependent on Him. Dependent on Him. And He'll get us through the next day. And the next day. Same with in Peter's situation, being in jail, he should have been dead. Why? Because Herod, remember the story? He wanted him out of there because it was making Herod look bad, you know. And then you have also here with Paul, with magistrates and Silas, you know, it was making the magistrates look bad. So they wanted them out of there. But I love the part where we can stick up for one another in the Lord. We have each other's backs. We're there for one another. We're praying for one another. And two, we're being faithful. And of course, being in God's house too is important. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves as a matter of some is, for some have forsaken. Why? Two reasons in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Christ is coming back, and also we need to do what? Encourage one another. We need to encourage all the time. We need that because the world is getting darker around us. But thank God there are rays of hope and light and love and kindness, being filled with God's Spirit. One thing I will close with this, and this is a problem that we all have. If we're not filled with the Spirit, remember Galatians 5, 22 and 23 gives you the nine fruits of the Spirit. And then you switch over there to Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. You know, sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and so on and so forth. And be not drunk with wine. Well, we need to keep conscious of God's Spirit in us to be filled. It's already there. We just have to get ourselves out of the way. What did Paul and Silas do? They sang songs to the Lord. They praised God. Okay? But also consciously, they are aware of God's Word, and we need to keep that going so when the bad times come, we know how to handle it. And by God's grace, we all can too today. So when persecutions, just tying this all together in a package here, there is going to be the persecutions. There's different types that come around in our lives. You know, they come out of nowhere. Like it says, rejoice. Count it all joy when you go through trials and different temptations. And James is talking about multicolored facets, different trials that come out of your way, out of nowhere. Okay? Then we see that also there is the praise. And so, when we tell people about Jesus Christ, spread the word around, live Christian lives, we will suffer persecution. And thirdly, we see that there is God's provision. God always provides. Aren't we thankful this morning for our country? Very thankful for the freedoms that we still enjoy. But, you know, let me encourage you. We need to still go and vote. We still need to encourage to be that light in the world. I had shared something here and with the Sunday school lesson. We are 15% less Christian than we were in 2007 in all spectrums. And those 15% less is because there's more atheists out there and communism. There's a lot of atheism. And then second of all, too, you have the country where you have worldliness has come into our churches. Number one, and number two, our families are not telling people about Jesus Christ. Worldliness is coming to our families. School, come fall time, football, sports, going out, having fun. When it comes to coming to church on Sundays, they even have a parade. I'm not knocking the folks doing the parade, I think out in Delafield or wherever it is, but they're having a 4th of July parade today. Why have that? You know? Why not have Super Bowl Sunday? Why not do it on a Saturday? You know, people say, what about the blue laws? Remember that back in our younger times? You know, they were there for a reason. The pilgrims had it there for a reason because they knew humanity, we like to substitute things for the truth, for falsities, for lies, not the truth. And so we got to put God first, even though it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us. As my dad told me years ago, life will always cost you something, but you can always reap the rewards. In Christ, we count it a privilege to be, you know, remember Paul, who was a rabbi, who was a Jew of the Jews, wherever he went, people knew him that he was willing to pay the price. He never complained. Jesus never complained. And so, to encourage us here today, so very thankful for our dependence on Him, for our independence that we have.